Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Patrick Come Lately Talk Radio. This is Stefan, your host, British by birth, American by choice. The Founding Fathers crafted some remarkable documents that led to the creation of a great country founded on liberty and self-reliance. I have lived in the Euro-socialist nightmare, and I'm doing what I can to return this country to the vision that the Founding Fathers gave us. We need to strive to rebuild that shining city on the hill, for without us, the world has nowhere to turn for freedom. For the next hour, I will be presenting news, views, and guests that help keep the true spirit of America alive. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning. Wherever, whenever you're listening, this is Stefan, your Patriot Come Lately, welcoming you to the show. This is episode number 159, and glad to have you here, whether you're listening live and are in the chat room, whether you are listening to one of the recordings from my archive site or at Blog Talk Radio, or whether you're listening to the rebroadcasts at Red State Talk Radio Network. Appreciate you joining me and hope you enjoy tonight's show. We have a special show tonight, but before we get to that, just want to talk a little bit about some of the big items that seem to be circulating the internet at the moment, and that really seems to be the only place to get any decent news today. And that is, number one, that continues to be a bubbling under of this news about the arming of the Department of Homeland Security. So all the bullets that they've been buying, the MRAP, the mine-resistant vehicles that they've purchased, weapons that they're buying, all the different departments that are buying weapons, and that continues to stick around. So hopefully something will happen about that. It seems that Congress has started to ask questions, and Big Sis is refusing to give any answers on why they're doing that. They've said for training purposes, but of course it's very strange that you would train with hollow point bullets. Who would do that? Anyway, so that's one of the things. And the other thing that just kind of came to the forefront is the discovery that King Obama's daughters are off in the Bahamas vacationing. Now, Barry has always said that he wants his children kept out of the limelight and we shouldn't involve him in any political discussions. But on the other hand, don't you think that with the sequester going on and them not being able to open up the White House, that sending his girls off for a holiday like that is not very good optics? And so there's a lot of people getting fairly uptight about that, and I think they're right. They should have looked for a different solution. And just think, all the Secret Service agents that are off in the Bahamas looking after his girls could be in the White House, and that meant that they could have opened up the White House for tours after all. So we see that a lot of what's being done, like closing down the White House, is just to make things more painful for us and to make it seem that it's all the Republicans' fault, but you really see which side of the fence this is all coming from. Anyway, let's get straight to tonight's main theme, main topic. And like last week, I have another author this week. It's almost becoming the Patrick Come Lately Book Club. But I do enjoy having these authors on, especially with this particular genre of fiction that I like to call the liberty genre. And this is another book in that same vein. My guest tonight is someone with a similar background to me. He's someone who came from the UK. His name is Max Velocity, but he is also an American now. And he wrote a book. He's written a number of books, some nonfiction, and we'll talk about them. But he also had recently released his first fiction book, and we'll talk about that. It's called Patriot Dawn, The Resistance Rises. If you haven't read it, hopefully you will soon. And I'm going to bring him in and ask him to talk a little bit about himself and then tell us a little bit about the book. So, Max, are you there?
I am.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight. And let me just say for my listeners, and I have I hadn't looked over in the chat room, but I'm looking now and I see a bunch of my regulars out there. So thanks to all my regulars and a couple of people who have been there in the past, haven't been a while, like Iggy and Kermit. So welcome back, folks, but also Mary and Rex is there. And I also see Beer Hunter. I think I don't know if he's been here before. So welcome to all of you in the chat room there. For those of you that like people who speak funny, you're going to have a great time tonight, because both ends of this call are have a bit of a funny accent. So Max, tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would.
Yeah, that's true. I definitely have the wrong accent, which is kind of funny, because I often forget that I do have that wrong accent, even though I consider myself, you know, I'm a U.S. citizen now, and I consider myself an American patriot. So a little bit about myself is I'm originally from the U.K. I served a number of years in the British Army, and following that, I worked for a total of 5 years in Iraq and Afghanistan as basically a security contractor after I left the British Army. And I arrived in the United States, and that was mainly because my wife is American, and I met her in London, and I came over here, and I actually also joined the U.S. Army when I came here too, and as a result of that, it was actually as a result of joining the U.S. Army that I gained citizenship. So that happened before I would have been eligible through marriage to my wife, and I've been here sort of full-time since the end of 2008. And you know, recently I've got into I still do a real job, but I've got into tactical self-defense training, and also writing books, and they're both related, because you know, the books are on that theme. And really, how that happened for me was a little bit of an interesting story. For many years, I was not, as you might call it, awake to any of the stuff that's kind of going on in the country or the world. And I was actually away with the U.S. Army when there was a hurricane, not the hurricane that came this year, but my wife had moved from the West Coast to the East Coast, and there was a hurricane coming along, and she just moved across, and I was desperately trying to kind of prep her by remote control, even though, of course, she was entirely capable of doing it herself. But, you know, as a husband and father, I was worried. And it was that experience that got me into prepping. And so having got into prepping, that kind of, as I explored that and got into it in greater depth, going from sort of the 72 hours of supplies into the full prepping scenario, I gradually came awake to really what's been going on in the world. And that kind of led me on to why I wrote my first book, which is a manual. It's called Contact, a Tactical Manual for Post-Collapse Survival. And I really wrote that because without being sort of unhumble about it, I do have a considerable amount of operational and combat and military experience and tactical training. None of it's not all my idea. I've picked it up from a lot of good people along the way, but I have this kind of repository of information in my brain. And when I was looking at the prepping thing, I decided that I thought I could help people by putting my thoughts down in a book, as I thought through what I would do with my family and the kind of things that might be implied if a collapse situation happened. As I got further into that prepping thing, and as I was writing Contact, I kind of more woke up to the political things that are going on, because really I'd looked at sort of collapse and the kind of need for prepping more in terms of, you know, natural disasters and possibly, you know, an economic collapse was something that was one of the things I was looking at. And as I was looking in greater depth at the political situation, I kind of, that came to the forefront. And if you don't mind me going on here a little bit, but the reason I wrote Patriot Dawn was because, excuse me, I had wanted to write a novel for some time, and I kind of chickened out by writing the manual first. But I had heard that, and I'd noticed that fiction is a good way, it's a good vehicle, if you may, for teaching people things. And I wanted to teach people tactical concepts, and I wanted to reach people who perhaps wouldn't want to buy Contact, you know, a tactical manual. So I decided to write what was intended to be an exciting story, but at the same time describing things in it that I would call tactical fiction. So describing some of the things that I describe in Contact, and not necessarily done in the right way either, but to show the rights and the wrongs, and to describe a situation that is set in a collapse situation, but overlain by a tyranny. So Patriot Dawn is much more angled towards, as a fiction book, to a scenario where the country goes through a collapse, a sort of grid-down collapse, but this regime rises, and rights are taken away, and we end up with a kind of a resistance, a civil war, sort of constitutional patriots who are fighting for their freedoms. And so that's how I got to Patriot Dawn, which was much more of a kind of an awake to the political situation book, rather than Contact, which was, you know, more of a straight up tactical survival book, which kind of acknowledged the fact that there could be tyranny. But Patriot Dawn really kind of goes into it in great depth, and I know you've read the book, so you might be able to comment on that.
Let me just say, yeah, I read your website, and I saw that you said it was sort of, if you like, the fictional version of Contact and attempt to kind of educate from that point of view. It was so exciting. I'm going to have to read it again to get the educational parts, because it is a very good book. So, but no, I think you did a good job there, because I do realize as you go through it, you do see, you know, you see what the people are doing, and you will always remember that. You get into a similar situation, then you will know that, you know, you'll remember the book, and so I think it does serve its purpose very well.
Well, I really appreciate that, and one of the things I would say I kind of forgot to mention is that you see a lot of books out there about, and there's some great books and some great fictional books in this genre. One of the things I wanted to do, I see out there on the blogosphere, you know, around people talking about what we think is coming down the pike, you know, and people quoting stuff, Cold Dead Hands, all these things. And I wanted people, it's almost like, you know, be careful what you wish for, in a way. And not that we're wishing for this kind of thing to come, but some people, you know, we believe that it may be coming. And what I wanted to do was to try and put into the book kind of combat experiences and combat descriptions that I've taken and kind of extrapolated. Clearly, I've never been through a civil war in the domestic United States. So I wanted to extrapolate from different experience to try and put little vignettes in there. Excuse me, I got a little bit of my throat, I have to cough.
That's okay.
Excuse me, yeah. So that to also sort of mentally condition people to what they might expect in one of these situations, because people sort of talk a good talk sometimes. It doesn't apply to everybody, but they talk a good talk. But I wanted people to really understand what this could mean if we ended up in that kind of situation.
And I think that is a very good point, because I think for a lot of people, it's easy to think about what you would do, but when push comes to shove, will you actually do it? It's a totally different situation. But let me just go back a little bit, if I may, because I wanted to mention a couple of things about your background. First of all, I have a question from the chat room. Someone was saying, whereabouts in the UK do you come from? Because they couldn't place your accent.
Oh, huh. Well, I am actually what they call in the UK an army brat. I think, you know, so I, my dad is or was in the British Army. So I've moved around the UK quite a lot and even lived in Germany for a number of years. So I think I've got one of those neutral kind of army brat accents, but also probably tempered a little bit by my time in the States as well. And I'm often described as Australian by people who think, you know, are you Australian? Well, no, I'm not. So,
yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't have said it, you know, Australian, no chance. But you're right. So a very neutral accent. Yeah, I sort of guess more the South. But the person that was asking, Kermit was asking, and he said, you know, you definitely don't sound like the North. He knows someone from Manchester, and I said no. Although strangely enough, the little vestige that I have of UK accent, I did live in the North for a while, so I've had people call me on that correctly and say, yeah, I detect a little bit of Northern in there, but I've lost a lot of mine because I've been out of I call myself Patrick Come Lately, but I'm a lot less lately than you are. One other thing I wanted to comment on, because you said, well, you know, you're in the British Army for a while, and I would like to tell my listeners that you're actually what we call a para, which is a quite a special name in the UK, right, Max?
That's right. And what I do is, for people that who don't really understand what that is, I actually try and sort of translate that and equate that, and I say that it's a very similar. It's not the same thing at all, but it's a very similar role to the Ranger Regiment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of describe it that way.
And you're in an elite part of the paras, because the paras themselves are already an elite group. But on your website, I saw you're also part of an elite group within the paras, so a very special person. I wanted my listeners to know that, because I'm very impressed, I have to say.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, but let's go back to the book. And you know, you talked a little bit about how it was educational. We've got a couple of minutes before the first commercial break comes up. So maybe you can just give a very quick overview and tell us a little bit about the story. You know, don't give away too much, but just tell us a little bit roughly what it's about.
Right. Well, the main character is, he's called Jack, and he's supposed to be a former Army Ranger captain. You can start to see some similarities here.
Yeah.
So the book isn't about me, but you know, I've kind of put some of Max into what he does, because that's where my knowledge is. So he's living in Northern Virginia with his family, young kids, and at the beginning of the book there's this kind of prologue where there's a kind of a false flag attack. And, you know, which is kind of, you know, it's probably an inside job. And there's an economic collapse, which is overlain by a cyber attack. And so the grid goes down. And we kind of go into that classic kind of collapse situation that many sort of, you know, the end of the world as you know it type books will talk about. But we still have this, you know, regime, which was there before and remains afterwards. So there's this sort of situation going on, and then afterwards you've got the real clamping down of tyranny. You've got the FEMA camps, you've got RFID chips, you've got you must give your weapons in if you want to get food, and so you've got this divided society where some people are out there trying to survive, some people are going into the FEMA camps. You've got the kind of homeland core, which I call the blue shirts in the book, which are the kind of the domestic police force, and you've got actual active duty military units operating in the continental United States. And so these guys, Jack and his family, kind of try and sort of survive in place in their house in the suburbs. And part of that, you know, in my book Contact, I talk a lot about, you know, to stay or go. And ultimately have a situation which forces them to leave. And they go to, and they have some adventures, which bring out some tactical concepts.
Yep.
And they end up at the farm of a a former colleague or senior officer who used to be in charge of Jack when he was in the Rangers. It turns out that, very convenient for the book, that he's actually been preparing a network and a kind of militia force, which he was preparing before the collapse. And I kind of have him active on the kind of blogosphere, you know, one of those kind of guys. And he grabs hold of Jack and basically persuades him to go out to the Shenandoah Valley, where they're kind of preparing to help train this force up. And the book then goes into, you know, how they hide out and how they train these guys up, and then how they start to conduct operations against the regime. And one of the things I've tried to do is make that very realistic, bringing in real sort of tactical procedures, what active duty military units would do. Excuse me, I've got this frog in my throat going on right now. What resistance fighters, you know, could do and do, and also bring in some realistic technology such as, you know, aerial thermal surveillance, drones, the threat from drones, Apache attack helicopters, all those kind of things that, you know, people often haven't considered, you know, when they talk about, well, I'll grab my hunting rifle and go out and snipe some people, come the revolution. You know, they need to consider, you know, what's out there, what your countermeasures might be. And so I've tried to put all that in the book. And without giving away the storyline, that's kind of where it goes.
Yep. Okay. Max, I'm going to interrupt you right now. We're going to take a couple of minutes break. I'll put you on hold. So if you need to clear your throat a little bit better, you're not going to interrupt anything. And when you hear the station ID, then I'll that's kind of your warning that I'll be bringing you back in, shortly, immediately after that. Okay. So, but it's going to be just about 2 minutes break. So hang on, and listeners as well, hang on. We'll be back. Oh, and one last thing before we go to the break. The people in the chat room have reminded me, which I forgot to do, that they do want to say thank you for your service to both the UK and the US, because they both say both militaries are heroes for all of us on the show, and let me second that as well. So thanks for that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, folks, so we're going to go to a break right now. Stick around. We'll be back after these messages.
Listen to Conservative Republican Forum with your hosts, Steve Rosenblum and Daria DiGiovanni. We're ending the silence of the silent majority. Saturday evenings, 6 p.m. Eastern, at www.blogtalkradio.com/ Stephen R. Repub. Our guests include politicians, candidates, authors, television personalities, as well as military and intelligence experts. We hope you'll tune in this and every Saturday evening and listen to our rebroadcasts on the Red State Talk Radio Network.
Are you at least 62 years old like me? Could you use an extra $50,000, $100,000 or more to live a better life? Then please consider the benefits a reverse mortgage can provide to you. With a reverse mortgage, you can have your mortgage payments stopped altogether and get equity out of your home to live on. And you can use the money to help you live a better life. How nice would that be, not to have a mortgage payment? Qualifying for a reverse mortgage is simple, since there are no income, asset, employment, or credit requirements. However, you must be 62 years or older, own your home outright, or have a very low balance on the mortgage, and be prepared to live in it throughout the rest of the loan. Call now for more information.
800-704-1662. 800-704-1662. 800-704-1662. That's 800-704-1662.
This is Patrick Cumlately Talk Radio, coming to you live via the internet, via rebroadcast on WRSDB, the Red State Talk Radio Network, or from the recordings at archives.patrickcumlately.us. And we're back after that break. Thanks for sticking with me. We're talking to Max Velocity about his book, Patriot Dawn, The Resistance Rises. And Max, I have another question for you from the chat room. One of the listeners is asking if an AK-47 with six clips and 1,400 rounds that have been modified to some extent is a good start. Now, I don't know what the modifications are, but I guess he's asking being a good start for his home defense.
Yeah, I guess the question is, what did he modify?
Yeah. Was it the ammo or was it the rifle?
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't ask that question. But certainly, an AK with six magazines, you know, is a good start. I would suggest more ammunition. I would also suggest a greater number of magazines. And I would consider that, six would be an absolute minimum that you want to carry on you. However you decide to do that carrying, whether you have a kind of battle belt or a vest or even a set of body armor with pouches on it. But you need to be able to replen that pretty rapidly. So you, depending whether you're in a vehicle or you know, you could have a grab bag, a day pack that you carry on you with some, you know, more magazines in it. But at the end of the day, you don't want to run out of ammunition.
Yeah.
One thing I'll say is this, though. What people don't realize is that you will use a lot less ammunition doing things for real than you would practicing. However, if it really goes wrong, the last thing you want to do is run out of ammunition. So that's why you can never have enough is what I would tell you.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, that question was posed by another one of the authors that I've had on my show, actually a couple of times, and his what I call liberty genre books also involve a lot of firearms, a lot of explosives, and he's also rather into poison gas. He likes that, or at least his characters do. So, I'm sure he'll take some of your advice, and you'll see it worked into his next book. And thanks to Iggy Mom for putting the link to your book up there. And before we go, we will also let you know where you can get the books. But I want to go on now, and we've talked a little bit about Patriot Dawn, and what I do want to ask you about for that specific book, it does have an ending of sorts, but again, hopefully I'm not giving away too much in that I say you've definitely left the door open for a continuation, a sequel, because the overall theme is anything but finished. Is that right? Are you working on the next book? Have you thought about it?
Yes, I definitely wanted to leave it open, which is interesting. I was asked this question the other day. Interestingly, Patriot Dawn is really it's the story of contact, if that makes any sense. It's kind of that's the story that I wanted to tell, that I had in my mind. I do want to write another one. I haven't actually put pen to paper yet, but I've been thinking of the ideas. But one thing that was put to me the other day was that some female readers had said that they would have liked me to have concentrated more on some of the background people behind the scenes amongst the group, without giving too much away. And my answer was, you know, good point, but that wasn't what I wrote Patriot Dawn for, because I was trying to weave in these specific things that I wanted to bring out, this tactical fiction. But the next book gives me a lot more freedom, because it'll be a pure novel. I can go where I want with that without kind of being tied to my own agenda. So that's exciting, but also as a relatively new author, it's also pretty scary. So I've got to get the storyline, you know, very well written out before I actually begin writing that.
Okay, well that's good to know. So we'll be looking for that, and do want to tell folks. So you can get it at Max's own site. There's a link there, which I think links you through to Amazon. Is that right?
That's right. My website is maxvelocitytactical.com. I also have a blog, which is it's maxvelocitytactical.blogspot.com, and that's linked on my site. The book is primarily, because it's self-published, all my books are self-published, it's primarily available on Amazon.com, and you can search for the book Patriot Dawn, The Resistance Rises, and also the author name, Max Velocity. Although if you just do Max Velocity, there's some odd books come up, so it's probably easier to search for the book name. And also Contact, which is Contact, a Tactical Manual for Post-Collapse Survival. They are also available. You probably won't find them on the shelves, but I know for a fact that someone told me the other day they got one ordered through Barnes & Noble. They are available anywhere that people sell books. You just have to go in there with the details and get them to kind of look it up on the system, and they'll order it for you.
Okay.
So I have come across people that really don't like Amazon, and they've either purchased the book from me personally, or they found it through Barnes & Noble or similar.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Max, what I'd like to do is we're at the bottom of the hour, so I'm afraid I'm going to take another break. Time is rushing by. After the break, what I'd like to talk a little bit more about Contact, because I have a couple of questions for you on that. So again, I'm going to take a couple of minutes break, and we'll be right back, folks.
It's a very scary world out there. Media misinformation, a slow economy, rising activism, and horrible tragedies. And government officials that take full advantage of all of it. Worst of all, a growing class of people that simply do not care. Well, we care. We are Hatton Humphrey and Ken Johnston, hosts of the East Coast Conservative Podcast. We present the news, sometimes news you wouldn't hear about otherwise, and offer our conservative views on what's going on around us. We do it without insult, with care and consideration, and sometimes some pretty bad jokes. Find us on the web at eastcoastconservative.com. Listen to us on the Red State Talk Radio Network. Download our podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast player. Or better yet, let your voice be heard. Join us for our recording session every Sunday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Like what you hear? Tell your friends about us. Don't like it? Keep listening. You'll hear different words in a different order.
Alarming signs. Are you watching for them? Before the Great Depression, there were alarming signs. Before the 2008 Great Recession, there were early indicators. If you miss those, pay attention. Today's economic warnings couldn't be more clear. Federal debt is $16 trillion, and in 8 years, it's projected to hit $22 trillion, enough to bankrupt the country. While our currency is being debased, China, Russia, India, and others are stockpiling gold to prepare. Can your family afford another financial loss of 20, 30, even 40%? Get informed. Protect your assets right now. Call Lear Capital and request a free copy of the special report, Rising Debt and Record Gold Ahead. Call right now. 800-958-5306. 800-958-5306. Call Lear now. 800-958-5306.
This is Patriot Come Lately Talk Radio, keeping the spirit of America alive. A proud member of the Red State Talk Radio Network. And we're back after that break, and Stefan, your Patriot Come Lately. I'm talking to Max Velocity about his books. Max is, like me, someone who came across the pond and is now a proud American. And Max, before we took that break, I said I wanted to talk about Contact. I had some questions for you about that. Now, you've written two books. One is, if I read the description, is one really very tactical and probably more designed for military people. But Contact, in the description, it says, is suitable for folks that, for, if you like, civilians who might be in situations that would need a book like that. So is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Although, you know, my caveat to that would be you can't just read the book and be good to go. I mean, you have to train, in the tactical concepts that are in there. It's really designed to take you from a situation of perhaps being, a family in a house trying to survive, stay in place kind of when a disaster or collapse happens, you know, a situation of without rule of law, and then it kind of moves on to give information that could be used by what I've described as tactical teams. Now, it doesn't take too much to realize that I took the idea of the tactical teams to kind of one extreme when I wrote Patriot Dawn, because I was applying it specifically to a resistance organization fighting tyranny in the United States. But also when I was writing Contact, what I had in mind was situations where perhaps we had a collapse, it was an extreme situation, and you had without rule of law, and you were perhaps a small village or town that needed to protect itself, and you wanted to train up some people, and therefore the tactical concepts are in there to do anything from a squad-sized or team-sized unit up to a company-sized organization. One of the things I kind of push in the book is that it's all very well to be a prepper, and you can have your cupboards and basements full of dry food and all the rest of the stuff. But if a collapse, depending on the nature of it, kind of goes on for a long time, then everyone's going to run out of that stored stuff in the end. So my point is that in a full collapse situation that doesn't recover, within a couple of years, the only real sort of survivable situation is to be in a sustainable community. So either you're going to be in one already, or you're going to have to get to one at some point, which is one of the reasons I talk about protecting yourself while moving and that kind of thing. You may have survived for a year wherever you happen to be hunkered down, then have to perhaps go somewhere where you think you might be able to find, people with farms and communities where you can try and survive. And if you're going to do that, and if it's just kind of a Mad Max situation where there's bad guys out there who want the resources, then you're going to have to protect those communities. You can't just be, happy hippie farmers, growing your crops somewhere and not expect hungry bad guys not to come along and try and take those off you. So, in that kind of situation, what you definitely need is to be able to defend yourself, which is why I'm big into tactical self-defense. So it takes you from sort of individual family, small team group level through to actual tactical teams. And what I've got in there are some of the tactics that I've put in Contact. Some of them come from sort of hostile environment, close protection, such as my time in Iraq and Afghanistan doing that kind of thing, moving in very hostile environments. And some of it comes from my military experience. So you'll learn in there to do things like break contact and do squad activities, even offensive activities such as attacks or ambushes or patrols. Things that people might not have considered now, but things that you might have to do around your area in a very hostile environment. And the other side of that, of course, is it's very much unstated in Contact, but it's pretty explicit in Patriot Dawn, is that all those tactics are also resistance tactics should you have to fight tyranny in this country. So it's all there for you if you actually need that information.
But if the... And one thing, that I got from your book, and again, it's at the beginning, so in a way it doesn't give away too much, was, as you said yourself, you've got the stay or go question that you have, and you do kind of make it clear that at a certain point you could have all the store, you could have 6 months of stores in your house, but if you're just a single family there, and the bad guys know you have the food and see that you have supplies or see that you have light because you've got batteries and candles, whatever, and they don't, they will come and get them. And if it's just, a single family, it's going to be a lot more difficult to survive than if there is a larger group that can support each other.
That's exactly right. There's kind of two sides to the argument, really, or you could describe it as two mistakes. The one extreme is the sort of I must bug out argument, the kind of head to the hills argument, where you end up heading to the hills into perhaps a very difficult environment, traveling through hostile environments to somewhere where you can't really sustain yourself. And the other argument is the bunker mentality, where you have 5 years of stuff in the basement. But that gives you that kind of entrenched entrenched feeling that you never want to leave that because that's all your stuff. So if you do that, if you do stay in place, you have to have your own line in the sand or trigger point, decision point, and you must have a plan to bug out, even if that means leaving all your mountain house dehydrated food that you haven't eaten yet. Because if you don't, if you stay in place, you can die in place. But also if you bug out and without anywhere to go, you're just effectively becoming a refugee. I guess the halfway house to that is people that live somewhere but also have a bug-out location to get to, which is great to have a remote bug-out location. Of course, the one weak point in that plan is that you've got to be able to get there. So therefore, you've got to have another decision as when are you going to go. That's very interesting in itself because, in an instant kind of collapse, like an EMP or, an instant grid down situation, you might have that gridlock that stops you getting there. And by the time you do get there, you may find, either you might run into hostility along the road that causes you harm, or you may get there and find someone else occupying your cabin. The interesting thing about economic collapse, though, is, if we kind of go in a slow kind of economic collapse, there may be, a trigger point. I'm kind of digressing here, but there may be a good trigger point where you can sort of decide that enough is enough, time to move to that retreat. Before you get that instant kind of like 2012 disaster movie where everybody's on the roads and you kind of go there in your own time. So there's lots to consider with the whole stay or go argument.
Okay so I think to me and I have to confess I haven't read that one. I did read Patriot Dawn. I am going to get contact, but I've got a bunch of other books in queue right now to read before I get contact. But contact sounds like one that as you said is a good one to learn some stuff, to know it, but then you have to go out and put some of it into practice and just read the ideas through and think them through.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things I wanted to ask about, and again we've got another 3 or 4 minutes before the next break. Talking about that total collapse, and when I called you before the show, just to make sure you'd be able to make it, one of the things I mentioned we might chat about is talking about what Homeland Security has been doing. There's a lot of stuff going around the internet about this fact that they've ordered all these bullets, and of course they've also taken over a lot of the surplus MRAPs, the mine resistant vehicles, and brought them in here and basically farming them out to DHS and apparently police forces, and sort of saying that's pretty heavy firepower. What's your take on that?
Well, one of the things we specifically talked about earlier was the ammunition thing, and it's kind of difficult to get to the bottom of that because on the face of it, they seem to have bought, a billion or so of these rounds, rounds.
I think actually right now, by all counts going round, it seems like they may be up as, they're well over 1.5 and maybe close to 2 billion now in terms of the orders placed. Now, there are things that people say, well, this is actually orders for delivery over 5 years, etc. But even so, it's a lot of firepower.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I think, there are all sorts of kind of complicating factors, like the fact that, government budgets, they'll often sort of buy the stuff before they get to the end of the financial year so they don't get less money next year. And there's all kinds of complicating factors. But I think at the end of the day, as you say, it's an extremely large amount of ammunition. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I saw recently was a point someone made that perhaps the DHS is actually trying to control actual ammunition supply available to civilians, because the companies that make the ammunition, they have to sell to government first. So if government keeps putting orders in, it kind of dries up the supply. And that's kind of, I haven't got any proof for this, but it seems an interesting concept because they're finding it difficult to kind of push through gun control, as they call it, right now. But one of the things to do is you control the ammunition. So that's an interesting point. But the other side of it is the whole, the very worrying way we seem to be going in the country with the police state, and the fact that, the DHS it appears to be a very real threat to the American population. And, you know, it's kind of it's much more than 3 minutes worth of conversation. But, you know, we all expect there's going to be some kind of collapse in the future. So it's not too much of a step to say that the government probably very well expects there to be a collapse too. So perhaps this is a kind of preparation for martial law, crackdown, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And I have one more question, but again, we've come up against the next break, I'm afraid. So I'm going to put you on hold again for the last couple of minutes, and then we'll have another 5 minutes because I have one more question around that DHS thing, and then we'll get back to reminding folks about where you can get the book. So hang on, and listeners as well, hang on a moment, and we will quickly go through our final commercials here.
It's the Conservative Underground from beautiful Broadcast Park in the Post Studio A. I'm Doc White with this week's Conservative Minute. On gay marriage, a few points. One, the Supreme Court's role in our Constitution is not to represent a given minority societal trend. Two, the American people are debating this issue and trying to form a consensus. Now is not the time to interject the courts and cut that debate short. Three, I have a hard time believing the mood of the voters is moving in the direction of redefining marriage. Recently, in three deep blue states, voters narrowly approved measures to recognize same-sex marriage and vastly outspent the opposition. Finally, California's Prop 8, which is now before the U.S. Supreme Court, does not ban same-sex marriage. It defines traditional marriage, one woman, one man. I'm Doc White, host of the Conservative Underground. Download for free at Podomatic.com and listen at RedStateTalkRadio.com. The Conservative Underground.
Are you paying too much for your car insurance policy? Have you shopped your current plan in the last year? If you haven't, then you probably are paying too much. You could save up to 40% on your current car insurance coverage just by making a free call right now. Doesn't it make good sense to pay less for something you have to pay for anyway? And car insurance is one of those things. You got to have car insurance, whether you have one car or 10 cars. So why not see if you can pay a lot less for it right now? One quick 3-minute call, and you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. We'll compare the leading car insurance companies and get you coverage that could save you up to 40% on your car insurance. Call now for a free quote. Call 800-603-9980. 800-603-9980. 800-603-9980. 800-603-9980. That's 800-603-9980.
This is Patrick Cumlately Talk Radio, coming to you live via the internet, via rebroadcast on WRSDB, the Red State Talk Radio Network, or from the recordings at archives.patrickcumlately.us. And we're back from the break. I'm talking to Max Velocity here about his books, and we were talking about the DHS purchase of ammo, and actually I agree with you, Max. I think that some of it does have to do with basically taking ammo off the market for civilians and, you know, putting a lot into storage. It's a way to control not perhaps guns, but the ability to use guns. But I do have another question for you, and Mary in the chat room also kind of commented, had the same comment, so we're killing two birds with one stone here. These bullets that have been ordered apparently are pretty much all of them are hollow point. And yet DHS said, well, this is for training purposes. And most people, most commentators on the internet are sort of saying, you don't train with hollow point. Apart from anything else, hollow point bullets tend to be twice as expensive as normal ammunition. So what's your take on that? Is that something that you think needs commenting upon? Sorry, Max. I'd I still had you on mute. Start again, if you would.
Okay. Am I here now?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I was saying that it's very interesting because, I mean, I personally would not train with hollow points because they're expensive. And so, you know, you just simply wouldn't do that. You'd try to train with range ammo, you know, ball ammunition.
Yeah.
I have seen debates that, you know, well, you need to train with hollow points because, you know, you need to train with what you're going to use. I'm not personally convinced by that. I don't think it really makes that much difference, you know, when you're actually shooting. One argument could be, to try and be fair here, is that it's the government. They don't care about spending the money, so why not just train with the hollow point? You know, just... But the other argument could be that they actually have it because that's what they want operationally, which is interesting with hollow point ammunition because, you know, on a foreign conflict or war, you're not allowed to use hollow points. That, you know, they're the old dum-dum rounds that are against the Geneva Convention. So I was actually a little shocked when I first came over to the States that, you know, everybody had hollow points and they were the kind of home defense round of choice because they do a lot of damage. If people aren't aware, that's the whole idea of a hollow point. It's supposed to go inside and you know, deform and expand.
Open up, exactly, yes.
Yes, which is why they're banned by the Geneva Convention and why, you know, it's illegal in war to do things like file down the tips of your bullets. So it's pretty harsh stuff. If they're going to start using that against the American population, if that's really what it's about, it's not about just, well, we'll buy hollow points so we can use them on the range and, you know, load them into our operational weapons... then, you know, you're hitting people with some stuff that might not be, it's going to cause extremely gruesome wounds. So, you know, I think it's an interesting point that needs to be commented on.
Yep. And one other question from the chat room was the comment, well, you know, would a normal, a full metal jacket type bullet, is that more likely to go through a jacket? So a bullet-resistant, I won't say bulletproof, but bullet-resistant jacket, a flak jacket, or because obviously a hollow point, because it expands, is also, it's going to be more difficult to get through something like a flak jacket. Is that true? I mean, you know, you're...
Well, that's true. Like, you know, like for instance, with the 5.56, you get the, you know, the steel penetrator, the military 62-grain steel penetrator, which has got, you know, better penetrating ability. But if you go back to sort of, you know, because this ammunition is pistol ammunition, though. When you're talking about the hollow points, that's for your handgun. You are... The ball ammunition is greater penetrating ability, which is one of the reasons why it's argued that hollow points are better for home defense, because it's less likely for the hollow point to go through, you know, a dividing wall into someone like a child or whoever in the other bedroom whilst you're shooting the, you know, trying to shoot the intruder.
Yeah.
And it's less likely for the round to go through the intruder and out the back, which, I mean, bullets do all sorts of strange things when they go into people, but a ball ammunition is much more likely to just go, you know, through and through and continue into the background, which is obviously something that is a greater concern with high velocity rifle ammunition than it is with handgun ammunition. But yes, a ball ammunition will have greater penetrating ability than the hollow point.
Okay, well, I see, as I told you when we called earlier, the time has run away with us, and we've reached the end of the show, Max. I want to thank you very much both for your book, and a reminder, you can get the book at maxvelocitytactical.com or at Amazon or at Barnes & Noble. So thank you very much for coming on tonight. Really appreciate it. And let me know when your next book comes out. I'll read it, and then we'll get you back on the show. I'd love to have you.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Max. Good night.
Good night.
And listeners, thanks a lot for coming on again this week. Next week, no guest. We'll handle news and views, but I am working on some more guests, some more authors. Like I said, this is almost becoming the Patrick Come Lately Liberty Book Club, but I do enjoy talking to these great authors left, right, and center, so hopefully you'll be glad to join me over the next few weeks, the month of of April should be lots of fun. I see the clock is ticking down, and so, yes, the music is going to start, and we're going to have to say TTFN. Ta-ta for now, folks. Thanks a lot for joining me. Hope to see you next week. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the show. I hope that you enjoyed tonight's topics. Whether you listened live, to a recording, or to a rebroadcast, I appreciate the time you share with me. We need to spread the message of liberty far and wide, so please tell your friends and family about the show. Thank you for helping to keep the beacon of hope burning. This is Stefan, your Patrick Come Lately, signing off. God bless America, and remember, L3, long live liberty.